Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, why is that important? Because there are so many versions of Christianity, and there is only one true version of Christ, the real one. Now, if you go into a church, a Protestant or Catholic church, and there is an idol of Jesus hanging on a cross, that is a fake Jesus. You need to understand that. There are a lot of counterfeits, there are a lot of lies, there are a lot of pretenders and false teachers, meaning they profess that they're teaching Christ, but they're teaching another Jesus. They're not teaching the true Jesus. Now, we saw in one of the segments just before this that there was a prophecy in Deuteronomy 18 that God would raise up a prophet like unto Moses, and everyone has to hear and obey him, or there is no salvation. So what we need to understand is the true Jesus, and then we will see, how did he come? So let's come to the book of Acts, chapter 3, and here we find an instance where Peter and James, the two leading apostles, healed a man who had been born impotent in his feet and never walked. And he laid at the gate beautiful, begging for alms. And Peter and James came, and Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold I have none, not to give you, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he did. Not only did he walk, he was leaping and jumping and going into the temple with Peter and James. And the whole multitude were astonished because they knew that this man had been begging for alms at the Gate Beautiful for years and years and years. All the people came running, and here in verse 12, Acts 3, when Peter saw it, he answered to the people, "Men, Israelites, why are you wondering at this? Why are you looking upon us so intently, as if by our own power or godliness we have made him to walk?" So they didn't take any credit to themselves. Very interesting. That's one way of knowing who is the true apostle or teacher of God. They give God all the credit. So let's see how he did that. Next verse. "The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, after he had judged to release him. But you have denied the holy and righteous one," that's Jesus, "and requested that a man who is a murderer be granted to you."
"This man has been brought to me as one who misleads the people. He is accused of sedition and blasphemy, for which he should suffer death."
"There is a custom in Jerusalem that at this season of the feast, one condemned man should be released."
"I remember the custom. Who shall it be? This man who many of you call their king? Or shall it be Barabbas?"
"Barabbas!
Barabbas!
Release Barabbas!
Barabbas is a rebel, a robber, an assassin!"
Isn't that the way it always is? The evil ones seem to come out on top. However, God is greater than all. And he turns all of that nonsense on its head, like he's going to do with this. Then notice what Jesus said. And you killed the author of life. Now that goes with what we read in John 1:1, that there was nothing that came into existence without the Word. And the Word was Jesus. You have killed the author of life whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's quite interesting what Jesus did after he was resurrected from the dead. And how did Peter and John know that it was true? Luke 24, verse 38. And what proof did they have that Jesus was raised from the dead? Well, he appeared to them. He came and stood right in the midst of them. They were terrified. Verse 38. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts come up in your hearts? You see my hands and feet, that it is I. Touch me and see for yourself, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me having." He came, boom, appeared right in the middle of the room. See, because when someone is a spirit being, they can walk through walls. They can walk through doors. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And they knew he was dead because they saw him crucified. They knew he was buried in the tomb. He told them that he was going to be in there 3 days and three nights. So when he appeared to them, he proved to them that he was alive. Now, he could appear as a human being, but he also could be in his glorified form. But in order to teach the disciples what they needed to know, he had to appear as if he were himself in the flesh. And after saying this, he showed them his hands and feet. But while they were still disbelieving and wondering for joy, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" Then they gave to him part of a broiled fish and a piece of honeycomb. And he took these and ate them in their presence to prove that he was alive. Now, that's interesting. Have you ever had honey with your fish? Well, I took up the challenge and have it. It's really good. So you might try it sometime. Then he said to them, now this is the important thing. So when we come back to Acts, the third chapter, we understand the conviction that they had and the absolute faith in Jesus to perform miracles, and that they were to witness, as Jesus said, beginning in Jerusalem at the temple. Now, here's why they had that conviction. Verse 44, and he said to them, "These are the words that I spoke to you when I was yet with you, that all the things which were written concerning me, in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, must be fulfilled." Now, why is that? Well, you see, in the Old Testament, there are 356 references to Jesus and his life, his death, his resurrection, his teaching. And we're going to cover some more of those so that you know that the true Jesus is the only Savior. There is not any in the Catholic Church, because that's a false Jesus and a pagan religion. There is not that in the Protestants, because they do away with the law. They are lawless. They are counterfeits of Christ. Now, they use parts of the Bible, but using parts of the Bible isn't good enough. You have to use the whole Bible. So here we are with the apostles being taught by Jesus resurrected from the dead, and he showed all the prophecies to them out of the book of Moses, out of the law, and out of the Psalms. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Now, this next verse is really important because the Bible cannot just be taken like any other book and read it, because it's written in such a manner that you must have belief and obedience connected with that. And you must believe the truth of God. And the Bible is the truth of God, His voice written down. Didn't we just read some of the words of Jesus? Yes, we did. Open their minds to understand the scriptures. So you get that booklet, the prophecies of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, because when the apostles began, they only had the Old Testament to preach from. Now, I want you to think about that. And that tells you that through Jesus Christ and the Word of God that's contained in the Old Testament, there is salvation. Now, much more had to be added to it when it spread out to go to the whole world. So he said, verse 46, according as it is written, it was necessary or obligatory. Now, what does that mean? Why was it obligatory and incumbent upon Jesus Christ to suffer in the way he did, being crucified in the way that he was, bleeding every drop of blood out of him, and in fact being baptized in his own blood? Now, why was that necessary? That's the whole mystery of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that is unveiled in the New Testament. Necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now, you need to write for our book, A Harmony of the Gospels, The Life of Jesus Christ in Modern English. And very few people know the setting of the timing of Jesus' birth, his ministry, what he did, and how all of it fulfilled the prophecies in the Old Testament. However, everything in the Bible is calculated and figured according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. The Roman calendar you have on your wall is just that, a Roman civil calendar. The calendar of God is much different, and that's the one he uses. And Jesus died, and I'll just give you a little prophecy here. On the Passover day, important to understand, little sidebar, the Passover day and the new covenant ceremony that Jesus gave in that night with his apostles is the only time that the bread and the wine and the foot washing should be, because Jesus said on that day, this do in the remembrance of me. Now, we'll talk more about that. And all of the communions and all of the Lord's Supper that people take on their own are devised by the teachings of men from other religions, namely from Mithraism, and is not what God commanded. And some people will go, oh, why would you say that? Because it is the truth. So you write for our book, Harmony of the Gospels in Modern English, and it will be absolutely amazing what you will learn. It will be startling to you to understand how far off Orthodox Christianity has gotten and is now not serving God whatsoever. And if there is any God they are serving, it is the God of this world, Satan, the devil. But my preacher's so nice and good. Yes. Satan comes gentle, clever, to deceive. The truth comes to smash all of that away. Because the Word of God is like a two-edged sword and cuts asunder and divides from the soul and the spirit and the marrow and is able to know the intents of the heart. So that's why you need to get into your Bible to understand it. Now, let's continue on verse 47. And in his name, repentance and remission of sins should be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. For you are my witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but remain in the city of Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. And that was the receiving of the Holy Spirit. That was a tremendous event that happened. So here they are, now preaching with the power of the Holy Spirit in convicting words to bring people to repentance and come to God. What about you? You need to think about that, because just trying to live a good life on your own is never going to really work. You need God in your life, and you only get that by repentance. Now let's come back to Acts, the third chapter. Verse 16, continuing on their explanation now of how the man was healed, because this was truly a great miracle. And through faith in his name, this man whom you see and know was made strong in his name, and the faith that is through him gave the complete soundness to him in the presence of you all. Now let's see what else Peter said, because this was a convicting message. And now, brethren, I realize that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers also. But what God had before announced by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he accordingly fulfilled. So notice what he says. This is the reason. And we will see that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his only and his shed blood, do you have forgiveness of sin? You have no forgiveness of sin through a priest. You have no forgiveness of sin with a communion in a Protestant church. You have no forgiveness of sin in Buddhism or Islam or Hinduism or any other religion, any other philosophy, any other way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So let's read on and see what Peter spoke about here. Verse 19, therefore repent and be converted. Isn't that something? Conversion is in the mind, in the heart. And the whole basis of conversion is loving God with all your heart and mind and soul and being. Not just like a little rabbit foot or a rosary or a crucifix or a good luck charm. No, since Christ gave his all, you must give your all. In order that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of the refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send him who was before proclaimed to you, Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restoration of all things, of which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Yes. Enoch and Noah and Seth, they preached it. And even in the book of Genesis chapter 3, after the sin of Adam and Eve, God himself prophesied of his coming to take away sins. So that's something to think about. Verse 22, For Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up to you from among your brethren, like me. Him shall you hear in all things that he says to you. So that prophet was the one who became Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that before he came in the flesh, he was God. The Word was God. And we will see, how did that happen? Okay, well, the religious leaders didn't like that, because now here is great competition against them. Just like today, there are a lot of religious leaders who would not like what I am saying. Well, they belong to the establishment religion of this world, called Christianity. But it's not true original Christianity. Now let's come to the next chapter, chapter 4 and verse 4, and let's see what happened when Peter and James, and I don't know if other apostles were brought as well, but perhaps they were. But anyway, here's the whole Sanhedrin, all the officials of Judaism. Verse 4. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Now it came to pass in the morning that their rulers and elders and scribes were assembled together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the high priest lineage. So everyone was there. Notice what happened. Notice what Peter said. And after placing them in the midst, right out, because they had the whole council of the Sanhedrin in a circle, and they were put in the middle. They inquired, by what power or in what name did you do this? Now notice what Peter said. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we are examined this day as to a good work done to this infirm man, by what power he had been cured, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel. Now remember, these are the ones who judged to kill Jesus and send him to Pilate to be crucified, that in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, but whom God has raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. Quite a witness to them, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Now notice what else he said. Verse 11. This is the stone that was set at naught by you, the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now, in saying that, the head of the corner, that cornerstone, was the whole precise thing to build a building. And Christ is building his church, and he is the head of the corner. Now, notice verse 12. Key important thing. And there is no salvation in any other. For neither is there another name under heaven which has been given among men by which you must be saved. Quite a thing. No other name. That's why you have in the New Testament warnings of false prophets, false Jesus, false teachings, twisting the scriptures.
Meet the Messiah of Siberia. He is known to his followers as Viserion, and he claims to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. The man who claims to be Jesus lives 4,000 feet up a mountain in a remote area of Siberia. Viserion has a loyal following of around 5,000 to 10,000 people. He has thousands of disciples who are convinced he is the reincarnation of Jesus of Nazareth. But Viserion did not always have that name. His real name is Sergei Torov. Sergei used to be a traffic cop. In Minusin's Kursk, Russia. Then in 1989, he announced he was the Son of God. He now leads one of the biggest and most remote religious communes on the planet. His followers are called Viserionites, and they live in over 30 settlements in southern Siberia. People have traveled far and wide to become a follower of Viserion. A man claimed Dennis traveled from Brisbane after hearing about Viserion, and he hoped he would be the answer to his questions. He was quoted saying, "No doubt about it, mate. Definitely the Son of God." Hermann, a Bavarian engineer, sold his home in Germany to join Viserion. Viserion's commune has its own laws, symbols, prayers, rituals, hymns, and even its own calendar. So why do so many people follow this man who claims to be the reincarnation of Jesus? Well, according to Hermann, he radiates incredible love, and they truly believe he has come to save the world. Oh, and I thought I would mention this. They constantly believe in an impending apocalypse, where a comet will inevitably crash into Earth, and their area of Siberia is the best place to survive.
Now notice, verse 13. "Now when he saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlettered and uninstructed men," meaning that they were never in their synagogues to learn at their schools, to learn Judaism. Now, Judaism is a religion of the Jews. It is not the religion of the Bible. Now, we've got a book you can receive free as well. Judaism, a revelation of Moses or a religion of men. And you will be absolutely astonished at how Judaism has nothing to do with the truth of the Bible. It's overlaid with all the traditions of the Jews. Now notice, "They were amazed, and they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. Yet seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they said nothing to oppose them." But they commanded, they got together, they had to have a council, they said, "Now we're going to command you, don't teach in this name anymore." Well, that only meant that they teached in the name of Jesus even more. "So, you be sure and write for these books, Harmony of the Gospels, in modern English, The Life of Jesus Christ. And you also need to have the book, Lord, What Should I Do? And Why Christianity is Failing in America Today." Those are all really important for you to have. And we send them to you at no cost. Because if you desire salvation, this will show you the way to the true Christ and the true salvation of God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.